It's Fear Town.
Is that a duck? Well, hello, and welcome to Fear Town. My name is Maniacal Mace. Okay, I can't do that.
Hi, I'm Javi. I'm Halloween Javi.
Ooh.
Ooh. Hi, I'm Chucky.
Ooh. And joining us for the first time in front of the mic is the one, the only...
Elvira Elizabeth.
Ooh.
That's good.
That's real good.
That's very good. Listeners at home, please make a warm round of applause for our fantastic production manager, Elizabeth Easterly, joining us here in what is a very empty apartment that I just moved into, and we have set up a candle situation on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, it's a real spooky vibe in the Queer Town, in the new Queer Town Clubhouse.
The new and improved. But there is some history to this space. So our editor, Drewski, used to live in this very humble abode that I am now living in, and Queer Town, the podcast, kind of got its origin here because when we were looking at creating the show, I was talking with Drewski and they were like, yes, I absolutely want to be a part of that. And we decided which equipment we were going to buy here.
Aww.
So yeah, we now have this equipment in this house.
Full circle.
Full circle, yeah. Baby.
Whence it came.
So many firsts in this space. First Easterly appearance on Queer Town.
Truly
first
an honor.
First candle podcast recording. First, it's not the first Fear Town episode.
It's not the first Fear Town, but it's the first Fear Town with four of us.
That's true. That's very true.
The fearsome foursome.
And we also have two cats. As many of y'all know, these are my production assistants. They're really helping us out tonight, establish a nice spooky vibe. Just to like set a bit of context, I moved in here a few days ago. I have very little furniture, hence the on the floor vibe with the candles. And the cats have not settled. They have not acclimated to the space. So if you hear any thuds or crashes or screams, this is a haunted house, and that's because it's haunted by two small cats.
Yeah. Also, if we set your new apartment on fire before the end of this recording, like, I don't know, apologies in advance. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ideally, that doesn't happen, but I'm only saying that as the person living here, as the person who is on this show. I'm like, well, that would be a memorable episode.
Yeah.
Indeed. Good audio. Certainly good audio.
I love candles. There's 11 candles lit.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Right in front of us.
Wow.
I feel like they're kind of in the shape of Texas.
They are, yeah.
Oh, interesting. I'm kind of getting more of a diamond vibe from my perspective.
Mm.
Rorschach candle formation.
I cannot associate any shape with these candles right now, but I am enjoying their glow.
Me too. Okay, when we were talking about setting this up, I very much had a First Wives Club vision in my head. You know that scene where they're all like eating pistachio nuts and drinking champagne, and they're talking about the song that they used to sing? Am I the only one who's seen this movie?
I don't know. I've seen it many times.
Yeah, I've seen
but
it.
But I can recall that scene.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's the best. Yeah. It's where Diane Keaton starts to sing the song, "You Don't Own Me," and they all prank her and don't sing her back up. Anyway, it's all very candlelit and lush and like Nora Ephron-esque.
Love.
And we are also candlelit and lush.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time that we've recorded an episode at night, so it's feeling very different, very edgy.
Also, there's a storm rolling in tonight, too. So that's adding to the spooky vibes.
Yeah.
Okay, so what scary thing is going on in your life? I'll go first. I survived a car crash.
How are you, Mace?
Nicole Kidman. She had that Vogue 70 questions at her house years ago. And one of the questions was, "Nicole, how are you?" And she like turns and looks at the guy and she goes, "I'm feeling raw." That's me. I'm feeling raw right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot to go through.
It is. And Charlie and I were joking about this before the show. I feel like the person who's appraising my car because it is totaled was probably like, well, you know, this vehicle wasn't drivable before the accident.
Wow.
Rude.
They didn't actually say that, but I think that's going to be their assessment of things. Like, cool, you get like a veggie sandwich and a bag of Ruffle chips.
Have you had to go say goodbye to the car yet?
No, but I need to.
Okay. Yeah,
they had to like take it to a special location
right.
to fully assess its death, I suppose.
Yeah.
Fun car corner.
Fun story. I also totaled my car. This was a couple years ago, but the scariest part about it was the green goo that came out of the front of the car.
Wait, what?
Upon impact. Yeah, there was like green goo.
Radiator fluid.
I was like, is this antifreeze? Like, I have no idea what this is. But it was like, wow, like my car is bleeding right now. Very Titan vibes.
I also would have not known what that was. So I'm with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Javi, you survived COVID.
I did. Yeah, I got COVID. It was fine. It was actually a well-deserved break. I had literally been joking to somebody before that because of my current work situation. I was like, I can't really take like any time off. And all I want is to get some sort of illness where I have to call in sick. Mm. And then it happened. And so I was real excited.
Wow.
No, blessing and a curse.
Yeah, that's super dark state of affairs.
Truly. Truly. But we got COVID. We watched like 6 movies in a day, and I never let myself do that. And it was honestly super lovely.
So what was the best movie you watched?
Oh man, what did we watch? Let me see if I can remember the sequence of movies that we watched. We definitely started with She-Devil, which is a Roseanne Barr, Meryl Streep movie from the early 90s.
Amazing.
I think then we watched Batman Forever.
Wow, what a pivot.
Truly. Then we watched Dungeons and Dragons.
Honor Among Thieves.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we watched that what is it? No One Will Save You?
Oh,
the Hulu movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Caitlin Dever.
Oh, and The Faculty.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. We're not good at like picking a theme and sticking with it. We just like
bounce all over
mixtape style. Mm-hmm. We just watched kind of whatever was whatever
pulled up. Yeah.
You put your letterbox on shuffle.
Truly.
Good for you.
No.
You survived.
I survived. I still have a sore throat, but it's okay.
Did you lose smell or taste at all?
No, I mean, I was whiny about everything, but it was pretty mild, if I'm being super honest with myself. So
I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Welcome back.
Thanks. Yeah.
How's Fear Town kicking off for the two of you over there?
Pretty good.
What's the scariest thing that's been happening in your life lately?
Oof, it's a tough one. I feel like, I don't know, there's a lot of anxiety starting a new job.
Yeah.
Like low-level horror of being perceived by a new group of people.
Truly. Truly. Yeah.
Is it in person? Like office?
Nope, but there's the option for that. Mm-hmm. There are 2 different massive buildings where people go in apparently like 1 or 2 days a week.
Okay.
So I'm mostly remote. I think I'm just sort of like getting the lay of the land.
I feel like there's so many like internal acronyms with organizations these days.
Yes.
Where it's like, oh yeah, you just gotta like ooh-ah-ah. And feel like, yeah, oh my God, I've been really struggling with that lately.
Totally.
As somebody who works in a somewhat like large company, the amount of acronyms, I just can't keep up with it. I'm just like, I could just start making shit up and people would be like, oh yeah, absolutely, 100%. But it's, I don't care for them. I don't care for an acronym.
Yeah, same.
There are too many.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I feel like every company has their own project management software, which I'm sure in your particular role is a very interesting thing to have to like own that for other people on your team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm having like a bit of an existential, this is kind of scary, I guess. It's like I'm already missing being unemployed, which when I was unemployed, all I wanted was an effing job. And now here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have
work sucks.
Reaping what
work
I've
really sucks.
Reaping what I've sown. Yeah.
God, that's so real. Mm-hmm. Yeah. started a new job right after the car accident. And fortunately, it was like a Zoom kickoff call and no one was on camera. I wasn't going to like offer up the fact that like, hey, so like super casual, but my car was just totaled. But yeah, super happy to produce this. Really excited to dive in.
High energy though. High energy.
Yeah.
Please take me seriously.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of feel similarly about kind of the shutdown that happened at the beginning of the pandemic. Obviously, I do not yearn for, you know, the amount of lives that were lost and the people that got sick and the people that were really affected and mm-hmm. suffered. I mean, it was really hard for, I think, everybody. It was hard for me, but I think that there was this like sense of aimlessness that I really miss. Mm. It's like, I forget who the quote is by, but it's the like creative people need time to sit around and do nothing. And that was like a couple of weeks of time where I was forced to really do nothing. And it opened up a creative side of me that I hadn't had access to in a while. And I really miss that.
No, I don't want to sound insensitive, but the first few weeks of COVID fucking rocked.
Yeah.
I remember calling a coworker of mine and I was like, I feel really bad about this, but I've never gotten so much sleep in my life. This is incredible.
Mm-hmm. It was like I read books cover to cover for the first time since I think I was maybe in like middle school or high school.
Wow. You know,
just like on repeat. And, you know, I was like, I'm going to take up pole dancing. And so I learned that. I was a hobby whore throughout the entire pandemic. I just went from hobby to hobby to hobby. But I had the time. And now I'm like, oh, I want to start this project. And I've been wanting to start this project for 6 months.
Yeah.
It kind of sounded like you said hobby to hobby.
It really did.
Yep, exactly.
And that's the story of how Charlie got plugged into Queertown.
Yep, no. But
okay, whose bag is up on the counter? Because Oscar's really just...
There's nothing precious. In there. It's fine.
Okay. That's a canvas.
Yeah.
Just a little canvas bed for a cat.
Mm-hmm. How do we celebrate spooky season amongst this group? Are we like decorating people, horror movie watching, event going?
All of the above.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Halloween. And I know that's like such a cliche gay answer, but it's so much fun. And I feel like my group of friends, which all of y'all are included. I don't know why I said it like it was
my friends.
Okay,
it's fuck my friends.
He's having a party we're not invited to.
Yeah, so like I have this like great group of friends. Y'all don't know them.
They live in Canada.
Yeah, my boyfriend goes to another school. He's a model, but there's like an NDA, so you can't see his stuff.
Okay? Totally real. Totally
and
real,
he's not on Instagram. Yeah.
He's like not into that type of thing, and like neither am I. I just think it's an amazing time of year.
Yeah.
It's just so fun, and like especially the parties that people throw at their houses. It's such an interesting reflection of who they are and what they put together. I did attend a breakfast screening of Mother, the Darren Aronofsky Lawrence movie with Javier Bardem.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie fucking rocks. Last time I saw it was the Tuesday after I'd been fired from a job. It was when it came out and it was me and three other unemployed men in the screening. And I think I was like two in the dumps to fully appreciate
Wait, hold on. You got to go back. So were you in a club? Did you just like join an unemployed club and y'all just went and saw a movie? Or
unknowingly.
Reading the room.
I think that it was definitely reading the room. Okay. It was a lot of depressed men. Mm-hmm. It was like a Tuesday at like noon screening. So I don't know like who else is like, this like really heady, complicated, anxiety-inducing movie sounds a great way to start off my day.
Mm-hmm. Probably not for the lunch break.
Yeah.
No.
That one.
Yeah. We didn't have anything to break from, let me tell you that.
I mean, I don't 100% identify as like a Halloween person, but I really love the changing of the seasons and kind of the like headspace that puts me in. Definitely celebrating October by watching a lot of horror films. I'm trying to do like one or two a week, but mostly I just like kind of like get cozy. Like I'm excited to make broths. I'm excited to maybe get a little witchy and like open up my windows and like, you know, there's a eclipse happening next weekend, which is going to be fucking fucking crazy. It's a solar eclipse, an annular eclipse.
Are we on the path of totality here in Austin?
We are. So San Antonio is going to be full totality. Austin will get partial totality, but I've seen one before and it is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
And next weekend is Friday the 13th too.
And it's the day after. Nice. It's on the Saturday. I mean, my experience may have been colored by the fact that I was fully tripping on acid on my friend's roof when I saw it, but I'm very much looking forward to this eclipse.
I think it was colored, but I would imagine that the eclipse would like do that on its own. Yeah. I've heard that wildlife kind of like does its own thing.
They freak out because they have no idea what time of day it is. Mm. The shadows get weird.
Oh, so it happens in the middle of the day.
It happens in the middle of the day. Oh. So at 11:56 a.m. next Saturday, which is going to be right after this pod is released, the shadow of the moon will cross the sun and it will kind of create this like halo effect. I actually don't know what happens or how it happens, but it's fucking wild.
Wow. Imagine if you're playing a soccer game on a Saturday morning and that happens.
And you're like, shit, the world's ending.
Right. Have y'all heard about the one that's happening in April next year?
Oh, yeah.
I would imagine you, Charlie, might be fully prepared.
I'm so stoked. I ordered my glasses. I did everything.
Okay, I know nothing. What's going on?
April 8th, 2024. Mm-hmm. Mark your calendars, queers. I have been invited to like a glamping expedition near Uvalde to go see this and like the path of totality.
Whoa.
I'm so excited.
That sounds like a great setup for a murder mystery movie.
100%. Yeah. Pray for me. I might not come back.
The glamping Uvalde eclipse murders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is the one where it crosses in front of the sun, so it'll actually dark. And
I think that's right.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I went to the last one in Washington State. Yeah. A couple of years ago. I didn't want to go. I just was forced by friends.
Oh, God.
I was like, friend trip? Sure. What are we doing?
Everyone else is like getting ecstatic about it at breakfast. You're like, yeah, so like, any good movies lately?
So how long is this gonna take?
I was stoned as fuck. I was like, all right, whatever.
I'm excited to see it. I do think following the cycles of the moon is like more fun in the winter months and fall months feels like more powerful. That's definitely part of how I celebrate the season.
Mm-hmm.
I love a good costume. Love a good costume party. I recently, well, a year ago, moved into like a little standalone house for the first time instead of like a big apartment building. And I was so excited for the trick-or-treaters to come.
Oh.
And so I stocked up. I mean, there was, guess how many?
Three.
Zero.
Oh. There were zero. Zero. Wow. No.
This block is not a hot spot of activity for the trick-or-treaters. And now I know.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know. So I can make other plans that night.
Well, just watch this year. Like, you'll just be hanging out at home and you won't have any candy. And then your doorbell will just be going off.
Yeah, I'll be out partying. And now I have a Google Nest cam that will notify me of all the children. A push notification. There's a child wanting candy at your door. You're not there. You selfish bitch.
Do you know what your costume is going to be this year?
I don't think I have one identified yet.
Okay. Same.
I did a really great Phoenix a couple years ago. I don't know. TBD.
Okay. Wait, this is actually a really great segue because we have a live show coming up. If you're in the Austin, Texas area, you should totally come to Queertown's Halloween show, which we are, of course, calling Feartown. It's going to be at Fallout Theater at 10 p.m. on Saturday, October 28th.
Woo.
Come on down. It'll be very gay, very ghoulish, and a grand old time.
Costumes encouraged.
Absolutely.
Yes, please.
Yes.
We should do a costume contest. That would be criminal not
to. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a real good idea.
And I mean, the Saturday before Halloween is really like the real
pre.
That's gay Halloween, yeah.
Yeah. It's gay Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This is the first year that I actually know what my costume's going to be in advance of Halloween.
Well.
Have y'all seen, there's a video of this really white woman, probably from like middle America, and she's teaching a hip hop video.
Oh
yes. Yes.
That's who I'm gonna be.
Hell yes.
Oh, yes.
So that's so good.
I'm gonna get the jumpsuit and I'm gonna walk turned out and then tell everybody like this is
to hip hop and hit and pop.
And hit. You know, hip hop it's
an attitude
in here. You know, they say that hip hop's gonna go out of style, but it's in here.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I love that video so much.
Yeah. I'm hoping people get it. I'm going to try and stay in character throughout the entire night. I don't know what I'm doing yet, but yeah. So that's my plan.
Oh, you've got time. You can practice it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got it nailed in.
Do you have a costume, Mace?
I don't yet. Somehow I always have like really big plans of like doing something. Mm-hmm. And then I just freak out last minute and like throw something together. And it's like, oh my God, I don't know how this happened again. So yeah, maybe I'll make that my like first item on my to-do list this weekend. Just like figure out like a sexy but memorable but easily wearable. Because mm-hmm. it's like I want all three things, and I think that makes it difficult.
Mm. Sexy, memorable, and what?
Wearable.
Wearable, okay.
Yes. Right, because like it... So last year, I went with some friends of mine, and we were villagers from the M. Night Shyamalan movie, The Village. Mm. And God, this was such a like gay Halloween thing. So I was told by my friend Tim to show up in period accurate clothing. So I did as best of a job as I could to dress up like someone who was trying to pretend that they were in the 1800s, right? Mm-hmm. Sorry, spoiler alert for a 20-year-old movie.
Yeah.
and Tim had made the like yellow robes for us. And so I get there and the first thing I see is the robes. I'm like, oh my God, yeah, I'm going to look so good in this. And then I look around at everyone else. It was literally the scene from Mean Girls. Every other person there had done like sexy, like cut off shirts and shorts.
Oh, no.
And there was one guy who was even dressed as Laura fucking Croft.
What?
And he was like, yeah, Laura Croft is part of this village.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
And there I am in like a fucking like button up shirt with a vest and like long pants. And I'm like, where can I cut off my fucking clothes?
You should have just gone top off robe on.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow. That would have been good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people did recognize that outfit, but only when like two or three of us were together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Just by myself, I looked like someone from magic camp.
Like you're lost. You are lost.
Yeah.
Last year I had absolutely zero costume. And I remember I went to a party and I was wearing overalls as I am now and like a striped shirt. And I was with my other friend and she was like, you absolutely have to like put this wig on. You've got to do something because this is a costume party. So I put on a red wig of my friend's and I told everybody I was Ronald McDonald's lesbian sister.
Yes.
I was like, here That's good.
Yeah. Fantastic. I have a couple go-to costumes in my back pocket. I could reprise a Margot Tenenbaum.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Now that my hair is shorter, though, I have a wig that could do it.
You could still do it with your hair, because her hair was like short bob-ish, and yours is almost bob length.
It's like pixie. I don't know. Okay. I feel like there are other... I swear to God, I had an idea for a costume around this particular hair recently that I can't think of. But I've got an Alvin Chipmunk costume that doesn't really work without the other two chipmunks. Mm, right. So one year I did dress up as like I wore the Alvin and I just like drew some lipstick. Like I pretended like I ate the other chipmunks and so I drew blood down my face. Yeah. And I swear to God, I wore this to work. Nobody asked me what the deal was. I imagined in my head like, oh, where are the other two chipmunks? No one asked. So I was just a bloody Alvin all day for no reason.
Oh man.
Humbling.
Yeah. I do have a head to toe penguin costume. I was thinking of things I could offer you, Mace, but none of these things are sexy.
But like at that party, I think the true like gay intervention is somebody give me scissors. I just need to make this more naked.
Yeah. How can I lose clothing?
Javi, what about you? Do you have any like memorable past costumes?
Last year I did sexy werewolf. Mm-hmm. and Keith was Scooby-Doo. And so we were dogs who had met and were dating. I don't know. He wanted to do a couple's costume. And I was like, well, I want to do a scary one. He's like, well, I want to do a cute one. And I was like, okay. And then the year before that, I was Ash from The Evil Dead. Yeah.
Sorry, I realized the soundboard was here.
Works for Fear Town. That was a great Fear Town
soundboard. That was. And yet it's been here all along.
Mm-hmm. Just waiting for us.
Hot topic.
It's so hot.
Wow. What an intro.
Okay. For this hot topic, I feel like we often have conversations about what the scariest horror movie is. But I think for our purposes and for Queer Town's purposes, what is the sexiest horror Ooh. Movie and what makes it sexy? I used to jerk off to American Psycho, and
it was just Patrick Bateman pulling off his face mask in the mirror.
I love Margot Robbie's parody of that she did a few years ago.
Oh, I haven't
never
seen it.
For what?
Wow.
I can't remember what it is for. It was probably an ad, but she literally does the whole thing that like he does when he's like describing his like fitness routine mm-hmm. and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, she loses her Australian accent.
Oh,
it gets very sinister.
Oh, okay, I'm gonna have to watch this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
that sounds great.
That's such a great movie, though.
That is a great mm-hmm. movie. Yeah.
You know, I was in Kansas City a few years ago, and I was about to go back to Columbia, where Mizzou is, for my friends Shane and Sequoia's wedding. And Lee, who's guested on this show, we were hanging out in our hotel room, and American Psycho came on, and Lee had never seen it before, and I was like, we simply must watch this. So we literally hung out in our fucking hotel room and watched the whole movie start to finish.
It's a wild movie. And I read the book too.
Really?
The book is...
Ooh. I've heard the book is like way worse.
Oh yeah. There are things in the book that I was like, surely they're not going to put that in the movie. And right. I will say I read that book when I was I was 11 or 12.
Oof, that's quite young.
Wow. Yeah, that was weird.
Impactful book.
And when I say worse, I mean like not quality, but like horror.
Right. Yeah. And at the time, the rumors in Premiere magazine was that Leonardo DiCaprio was going to play that character. And this was like Titanic era. Yeah, it was definitely a Titanic era. So it was like we all had a crush on Leonardo DiCaprio. And yeah, I found the book. Titillating, which is really fucked up in retrospect.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was very taboo as an 11 or 12 year old. Mm. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm reading this on paper.
Mm. Oh yeah, no, yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Eye-opening to the world. Okay, sexiest horror film, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to have to go with there are two I have in mind. They're both pretty recent.
Okay.
Except one is, I guess, a remake. Suspiria.
Oh.
That movie. I am a huge fan of body horror.
Yeah.
And also I am a dancer. And so that film to me is just one big, long tease fantasy
right.
situation. It is so sexy to me. Those like dreamscapes.
Oh my God. I thought that you were talking about the Shia LaBeouf movie.
Oh my God.
What Shia LaBeouf movie?
Suspiria? I said Suspiria.
You definitely said Suspiria.
Cool. Just wanted to make
sure. What is the Shia LaBeouf
movie?
Wait,
were you thinking about Holes?
Like Suburbia? Yeah.
What is that one? Disturbia?
Disturbia.
Yeah, Disturbia.
Oh, yeah.
With Shia LaBeouf.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
No, you're thinking of Suspiria. Yeah. The Dario Argento. Or the more recent one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
By Luca
Guadagnino.
I love the recent one. It's so good.
I mean,
very different movie, though.
That film does so much for me because for a long period of time, right as I was graduating college, I wanted to like move to Berlin to become a performance artist. Wow. So I was like, oh, this is my dream. Yeah. And there are so many like moments in that film, and like the film is visually influenced by some of my favorite artists, and then also has some of my favorite actors, actresses, like Tilda Swinton. Mm. So that film is just like one big turn on. Like I was sliding off my seat when I saw it in the theater. It was so good.
Okay, that's a rave review. I need to see this. I have not.
When, oh.
Oh.
I know you don't like horror movies, scary movies, but I think you'd like those.
Okay.
So,
sure. I mean, if it's sexy enough, I will endure a lot.
And a good double feature with the original.
Oh, yeah.
They're very different movies. I would say that the original has a lot of curved visuals, but then the recent one, it's very jagged and angular. And I love that visual difference between the two. And I think it actually makes for a much more interesting story start to finish.
Mm. I mean, there's a lot of writhing on the floor in the remake.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Oh, it's so good.
His follow up to Call Me By Your Name, which is kind of mind blowing because it's such a different movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I do my list.
Yeah. I do think that's like, you kind of like unlocked that for me, because I was like, there's so many horror movies that are horrifying, but it's also like so much is happening to bodies, right? And it's just like seeing these bodies in extreme situations that I think just like easily sort of like translate, and oftentimes are like metaphor for sex or like sensuality.
Yep.
And that's a really good example of that.
I mean, I think that Julia Ducournau, she's the director of Titan and also Raw, both like heavily body horror films, in my opinion, having to do with gender and the reproductive systems. And I wouldn't say that they were sexy for me, but they were like so like bodily that there was something about it that felt like carnal and feral, you know, which kind of is sexy. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yeah.
I feel like I couldn't really land on a sexiest movie. I don't know. When I think of sexy horror, I think vampires immediately. So like for me, it's kind of the genre as a whole. No pun intended. Speaking of which, vampires, like part of the thing of the bite is like they create new holes in your body, which is super sexy. And they're literally penetrating you and you're like squirting out blood. It's so sexy. And it's like, they're a villain, but they're not like overtaking you by brute force. There's like a seduction. It's like the power is all about like finesse, which I find super sexy. And so the most recent one I saw was The Hunger. If I need to choose one, I'll a very sexy vampire movie.
Very sexy.
But yeah, like generally the idea of being like a familiar or a pet is like very appealing to me as a kind of slutty sub person.
Oh yeah.
So you would be Renfield, is what you're saying?
I mean, I guess I did see that movie.
I haven't seen that one, but I have seen Bram Stoker's Dracula that Francis Ford Coppola did, and I find that to be a very erotic movie.
Yeah. It is. Renfield is not. It was not a super sexy movie.
It's like comedy action, right?
Yeah, it's like over the top gore. Okay. And as sexy as Nick Cage, maybe what I would argue is, definitely was.
Definitely was, yeah.
There is not a sexy relationship.
Excuse me.
Between
Raiders,
Nick Cage.
There's so many things going bump in the night in this room.
So spooky.
Emmy just discovered a picture hanger that was left on a wall and has been trying to jump up the wall to capture it.
Oh, kitty cats.
I mentioned during my COVID that I watched The Faculty, which I did not know that the school in that movie was the it's the school for the deaf down on South Congress.
Oh,
not South
really?
Congress, South First.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the school that
really?
They use. Yeah.
That's also where Friday Night Lights filmed for seasons 4 and 5 when they did the redistricting.
Redistricting? Sorry, I was
redistricting love?
Sorry, I was gonna say redisticking. Sorry.
Oh.
It's a bad pun. It was a bad pun.
Penis.
But no, just rewatching The Faculty. It just is a very fun movie, but it was reminding me of like all that like Kevin Williamson era of like Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer. And I was an adolescent when those movies came out. So these movies were like chock full of just the hottest young actors.
Ryan Philippe, big impression.
Jesus Christ, in the towel.
Yeah.
And I don't, yeah, that was That was
also Ryan Philippe formative. In what's the one with Sarah Michelle Gellar? The other one with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
The other scary movie?
Well, it's kind of
Cruel Intentions.
Cruel Intentions. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was scary for me when it came out.
Psychological horror for a young person, for sure. Yeah.
Oh no, is he going to be able to get away from his scary sister?
There's definitely, I mean, spoiler alert, there's a violent death in that movie.
There is, so. Yeah.
That's true.
It. I don't know, at least in my mind, that's where I've categorized it. I'd need to do a rewatch.
It's tense and a little scary and definitely sexy.
Definitely sexy.
I had such a crush on Josh Jackson. Paisley.
Oh,
Paisley.
Yeah, Josh Jackson.
Paisley.
Yeah.
The bleach blonde version in that movie?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He played gay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know why this sticks in my head. I was so young. But him being like, he's got a mouth like a Hoover. I was like, we can talk like that. Uh-huh. Holy shit.
The mental gateways have just been unlocked. So I love 70s horror, and I think there's a lot of body horror. That's what I find to be scariest. It's not the supernatural, because I can contextualize that as being something else altogether. But Klute with Jane Fonda, it is so fucking good.
Oh,
it's not your stereotypical horror movie, but she plays a call girl in New York who gets these really creepy phone calls, and it's that like era where you just like hear the phone ringing. And I think she won the Best Actress Oscar for her role, and she's so good in it. And Kiefer Sutherland's dad, Donald Sutherland, sorry, it took me a second to get to his name, he's in it as well. And it's, I think, like a 5 out of 5 movie, but it is genuinely scary. And it's also very sexy and empowering. And she has these beautiful scenes with her therapist where she's just like talking about her life and how complex it is to have gone through trauma and to still be a sex worker and living in New York in the 70s and how like gritty it was. Thanks, Emmy. Things are really going on.
It really feels like we're recording this on a haunted house.
The cats have taken to arson.
Yeah. They're starting to get comfortable in the new space, which is when danger happens.
Okay, wait. What was the name of that movie you were just talking about?
Klute.
K-L-U-T-E. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the other one is the movie that Faye Dunaway did after Network. It's called The Eyes of Laura Mars. And I think it's one of the most underrated movies I've ever seen. I will die on this hill. She plays a high fashion photographer, also in New York. And it was inspired by the Italian wave of horror that Dario Argento was so connected with. And it's taking that visual motif and transposing it to New York City in 1978. And she starts seeing through the eyes of someone who's killing off people in her life. And she has these like very dramatic, like, and it's truly terrifying because like her eyes somehow tap into someone else's eyes, but she doesn't know who the killer is.
Ooh.
And it's very sexy at the same time.
Oh, because all she sees is with POV, right?
Yeah, the POV. Wow. Yeah. And so she'll like get to the scene of the crime before anyone else does because she knows that the murder happened. And so she becomes the number one suspect.
Ooh.
But it's like the most bizarre movie because she continues with these like high fashion sequences and there's a lot of disco music. And it truly, like, the fashion is incredible. And there's a very terrifying sequence where she can see through the killer's eyes and she's running away through an empty warehouse. And it's probably one of the scariest shots I've ever seen.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, highly, highly recommend.
It takes a lot for a horror film to scare me these days because in my mind, like, I'll be sitting in a theater or sitting in my house watching it. And in my mind, when I start to feel the intensity, I'm just like, oh, somebody had to act this out. Like, so, you know, say that there's some gruesome murder happening. I'm seeing the like behind the scenes, like, okay, cut. Okay, that was really good, but can you make those screams more guttural? And can we make that blood squirt a little bit higher? And then they have to like go for a second take, you know? And so it like takes me out of the moment, which I'm both like kind of hate and also am grateful for, because like I can really get into things, you know?
So you should watch the John Travolta movie Blowout.
Okay. I think
that's what it's called. It's something like that, but he plays an audio engineer who makes shitty horror movies for a living. And it's so clever. He's like out and about recording. It's a Brian De Palma movie, so it's very sexy and very stylish. But he's out and about recording because they're trying to get like background sounds, and he records audio of a car crashing, and he starts suspecting that it was a murder, and so he's like obsessively listening to the audio over and over and over.
Okay, wow. Yeah,
but it has the scene that you're talking about where they're trying to get actresses to scream, and it's quite comical because whoever they worked with in front of the camera is like what the look they wanted, but evidently she didn't sound that good with her scream, so they're bringing in other women to like scream on her behalf. It's so fucking funny because they're like, okay, actress B, walk up. Nope. Actress C, nope.
Oh my god.
Yep, that's exactly what happens in my brain. Well, like as somebody's getting murdered on screen, I'm like, that's where I am.
Okay. It's probably a safety mechanism though.
I think probably. Yeah.
I can relate to this because my go-to mental trick when I'm getting too scared is to think about the craft services table.
Oh.
Like, there's somebody milling around, like, eating a cube of cheese somewhere at craft services.
Absolutely.
Or, like, somebody's just had a pretzel or a piece of fruit, and the food is, like, still there. It has to be there, even though it looks like we are in the depths of hell or wherever we are. The craft services table has to be somewhere nearby.
So I have a friend who is a set decorator on a movie that shot here in town, and there was a lot of blood on it. And there was like some day where we were going to watch Gone Girl, and she had like blood all over her when she came over to my place. And I was like, wow, that's like so fitting. And she was like, wait, I've never seen this movie. What are you talking about?
I have actually not seen that movie.
Oh,
it was fucked up because I love David Fincher, but yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Wait, which movie?
Gone Girl.
Oh.
With Rosamund Pike.
I did see that.
And Ben Affleck. Yeah. I think Ben Affleck is at his sexiest.
And Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh yeah, he's so good in that.
I mean, spoiler alert: he's the one that gets like pretty brutally murdered.
It is one of the best sequences, though.
It is like, so good.
Like you can go in and be like, "Oh, like I know he's about to," but then
what ensues after? You
and what's crazy is that I went to college with this girl Reagan, whose grandparents' house was the house that was Neil Patrick Harris's house in that movie.
Oh my god!
And so it's like after it came out, she posted all of these photos with Rosamund Pike in the blood.
Sick!
Wow!
I love it.
Wow.
I'm like, damn, that's cool.
Okay, when y'all saw that movie, did any of y'all read it as like hilarious camp? Like, I wasn't aware of this reading until recently, and I saw an interview. It was actually like yesterday. I saw some clip of an interview that Anne Hathaway did on some late night show where they were like, what are your favorite rom-coms? And she was like, well, obviously Notting Hill, clap, 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 standing ovation from everybody. Mm-hmm. And she's like, and more recently, Gone Girl. And like dead silence. From the audience and the panel, so which includes like Army Hammer and like, I think it's maybe Conan or someone.
It's James Corden's show. Yeah.
James Corden.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Army Hammer. Everyone's just like dead silent. And she's like, right?
I think it's one of those movies that you can see as humor, especially in the sequence you're talking about, because Rosamund Pike, it feels very like gay allyship on her end where she's like wearing this like sexy lingerie number and she's got this like great bob cut at this moment in the movie. And so she gets like blood splattered all over her. And then she does this like hair flip to like get the bloody hair
off
out
her
of
face.
Yeah.
It's oh God, I remember that.
Fucking incredible.
And she's like, takes a deep breath before she like runs to do what she's about to do next. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, she like gets into actress mode.
Yep.
I might need to rewatch.
I think I do too. I've been recently watching kind of like crime shows. Like I watched Mayor of Easttown. That was so good. And then I went to watch Sharp Objects, which I really didn't like. Haven't finished it. I was kind of like, ugh.
That one's tough.
It's also the author of this of Sharp Objects is also the same author of
Gillian
Gone
Flynn.
And so I think maybe it's kind of like a weird circular.
I think that she had like one really great idea, which was Gone Girl and Sharp Objects and whatever the other one was.
Not familiar.
They're kind of all like the same thing of like someone goes back to Missouri and they've got like a really troubled past and there's like a mystery that unfolds.
Well, So we've been talking a lot about horror films, and I think that all of us have attached ourselves to something super sexy about a horror film, but does anybody want to talk about why Halloween is also gay Christmas?
Ooh. Oh, I mean, the first thought is the sexy component of it, right? Like, it's just like the you now have an excuse to like go out and dress up. And I think for a lot of queer people, that means dress sexy.
Yeah. According to my friend group last year. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think that there's something a little tricky about Christmas, because for so many of us in the States, at least, who grew up celebrating Christmas, there's a lot of emotions attached to that, and there's a lot of baggage. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes the family dynamic can kind of overpower what that particular like winter holiday can at least do for me, because there's so much complexity layered into it. But Halloween has kind of always been divorced of that. It's felt very much its own thing that I've been able to do with friends and kind of approach in my own way. Mm-hmm. And I think for so many of us who had a lot of questions as we were growing up, Halloween was this amazing opportunity to try on something in a public way.
Yeah.
And to be able to get away with it because it was a costume. It had no other meaning at all.
But maybe totally. Yeah.
And I think while like, you're right, like a lot of the other major holidays have like some maybe like Judeo-Christian like root, I feel like Halloween is the one that gets to stay the most tied to like pagan roots and feels like you don't necessarily have to recognize any kind of religious underpinnings, which I don't know. I think for like you were saying, for a lot of people in the queer communities, a bit of a relief.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think there is a lot of like honor and respect in the queer community for like what it means to put on a mask and like embody something else, or what it means, like the way that you present yourself all the time, as opposed to the way you present yourself in certain settings, like, you know, that everything is basically drag and like whatever it is that you dress up as is inherently sort of like calling out the absurdity of that thing.
And that a lot of it is kind of rooted in fun as well.
Yeah.
It's like absurd, but in sort of a, like there's parameters to it. It doesn't have to be like that deep, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think if listeners, if you heard our last podcast and we talked about sort of like the queer connection to horror movies, I think it's similar, just like, you know, a celebration of the macabre, the celebration of like dark things that is very I don't know. I think it has a relationship to the celebration of being an outsider. Right. And I think that's what like Halloween embodies. And I think that's part of why it speaks to queer people so much.
Well, and at least here in Texas, it's kind of one of like the first seasonal changes that we've experienced in a while. And at least for me, I've been so ready for the temperature to drop. Where it's like I started watching horror movies a few weeks ago because I was like, I just have to get into this headspace. And I started like, I literally made pumpkin soup, and it was so hot out. I just have to do this. And it was so good. And I will be making it again.
Once. Was it a pumpkin gazpacho? Chill it.
No, that would have been much more appropriate. I had a friend over and she was like, wait, what?
I'm taking a day off next week simply because I want to make broth. Like that's going to be what I do that day, with the windows open and jazz music or something playing in the background. I'm like, I'm so ready.
From scratch?
From like, scratch, like I'm
with
doing
bones and veggies or whatever.
Wow,
love it.
Yeah,
that's a great vibe.
Yeah, I'm gonna make delicious broth to make for the coming months. But like, kind of to go back to what all of y'all have said, I think that Halloween for me, there was a lot, like growing up, there was a lot of like, oh, do I like her? Do I want to be her? Like what? Like what is the attraction that I'm having? Or like seeing a public figure, seeing somebody in, I don't know, a film or something, and like having this like weird connection to them and not feeling safe enough to like try that persona on in my daily life. And so like having an opportunity to like try on that personality or like step into somebody else felt like really liberating, and there was no judgment around it.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Halloween fucking rocks.
Yeah. And I guess this year I'm going to step into being a white woman who can't teach hip hop.
But I think that's what's great about it, is you get to do something different every year. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of, you know, do the same old thing that you've done before. Like I've done Andy Warhol like 3 times now. Mm. And it's so fun and like instantly iconic, and like people get it. And there's something really nice about that. And then there's other times where it's like, oh, like I'm a doctor and like that's all I am. There's nothing more to it. Mm-hmm. And it, I don't know, like you get to choose how invested you want to be in it. Mm-hmm. And I like that adaptability.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, what do we think about a quick round of Queer Town quiz time?
Let's do it.
Stick around, y'all. Whoop. We'll be right back. Well, hey, y'all. Welcome back to Fear Town. We are still sitting around a pile of candles.
It's a fire hazard in here.
We're still alive.
We're still alive.
We're surviving and thriving.
We're doing it.
All right. Gays and ghouls, it's time for Fear Town quiz time. A game show where subjective questions have objective answers. And if you can't tell from the dulcet tones of my voice, I am hosting this one. I upset babies everywhere I go. Okay. Playing today, we have Mace.
Hey, it's me.
Right. And we have Charlie, our second contestant.
Yeah. We're really off to a great start here.
All right. And Elvira Elizabeth, you will be judging answers.
That's right.
All right.
Players beware.
Okay. Contestants, are we ready for your first question? No, we have to do the thing where we figure out. Okay. I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 13. Mm. Did I pick a number? I have chosen a number. Mace.
2.
9.
All right. I was thinking of 3.
What's that? I get to go first.
So, Mace, you get to go first.
Okay.
All right. Bringing up a theme that we had just discussed in our last segment, culture has seen so many variations of vampires over the years, from suave and charismatic Dracula to monstrous Nosferatu to Blade to Kirsten Dunst. What would you be like as a vampire?
Mace Kerwick as a vampire would probably be really in his head, but like times 10, and like, hey, I would love if like we could hang out after this. Like, wow, your neck looks so yummy. Oh my God, why did I say that? Somebody help me. Ah.
Neurotic. Got it. all right. Charlie.
Okay, so I think I would be like the flirty, super like charismatic, leaning into like my I guess heightened senses, and I would only go after like super attractive women, and I would kind of make them my like little playthings, and I'd lean and be like, "Oh, your perfume smells so good," and then eat them.
Nice.
Oof.
I'm so sorry. There's just absolutely no contest here. Charlie is the winner of this round.
Wait, what did I say?
As a beautiful woman and as a plaything, I think I would gravitate much more toward Charlie's vampire than yours.
Fair.
But you do sound like you would be someone I'd want to hug at a party, and then maybe you'd get me and you'd turn on me. So
yeah, I use the neuroticism.
It's all of,
to fool you.
It's all a mask.
All right, Charlie, you are starting out this next one.
Let's do it.
With a Queer Time Quiz Time staple, Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Mm.
And your choices are Chucky.
Okay.
Freddy Krueger.
Fuck.
And the Bride of Frankenstein.
Jesus. Okay. Wow. I think I'd fuck Freddy Krueger because I think it would be like scary, but also maybe fun. I'd kill Chucky because motherfucker, that's scary. And I guess I'm marrying what, Bride of Frankenstein?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
The bride. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. All right.
Lines up.
Okay. Mace.
That's easy. I would kill the Bride of Frankenstein. She doesn't talk in the movie that she's in. So sorry, I'm a talkie guy. Gotta have someone. Unfortunately, Chucky would be just like a weird partner. So I'd fuck him and then I'd marry Freddy.
All right.
Man of my dreams.
There you go.
Oof. Okay, this is tough. This is one of those like multi-part answers that I'm going to have to try to remember each one. You said,
okay,
kill Chucky, fuck Bride of Frankenstein, marry.
No.
Flip them. So fuck Chucky, marry Bride of Frankenstein, and then kill. No.
No, you no, killed Chucky.
I killed you Chucky. Kill Chucky.
You marry Bride.
Yes.
And you fuck Freddy.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And
okay.
I would marry Freddy, fuck Chucky, and kill the bride.
Okay. My brain is such that I'm going to have to just tell you what I would do, and then Javi, you might have to tell me which is closer.
Yeah.
I think I would also fuck Chucky just because it's so weird, and I'm into that in terms of, like, generally weird, not... Anyway. I feel like I would marry... Bride of Frankenstein. So, like, I'm going to be honest, I haven't really seen any of these movies.
Sure.
It's okay.
But I know, I think, of these characters. And I think Bride of Frankenstein might make a nice lifelong partner. Mm-hmm. Whereas Freddy seems too scary. So I think I would have to kill him. Okay. Does that align with...
I think we're tied.
I think that's a
Is
tie.
Is that a secret third option that neither of you chose?
Mm-hmm.
That's a tie.
Okay. Yeah. That's Are we tie. Allowed to have a tie?
I don't know. You're the judge.
Is that a queer town first?
Let's see how
I think it might be.
Let's see how it pans out.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It's a
time. To be determined. Wow. What a mystery.
Ooh. Okay. Also, I'll use this as an opportunity to plug the Chucky TV show, which is wildly queer.
Oh,
yeah. Queer protagonist, non-binary kids. It's great.
Yeah. Sutton from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Guested. Yeah.
And Jennifer Tilly is all over it. It's great. Anyways. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mace. All right. Oh no. You swerved to avoid hitting a dog and you drove your car into a river. Sorry. You're deceased now and you've learned from your afterlife caseworker that you must remain in your home for 125 years. This is the plot of Beetlejuice, but some tech bros have moved into your home and you have no choice but to haunt and scare them out of the home. What is your plan?
My plan is that I'm going to create a Ghost Grindr account and I'm going to send them like really scary photos of genitals from the other side. And I'm going to say, you know, you want it.
All right. Mace is killing them with nudes.
Wait, are these gay tech bros?
I mean.
Or unclear?
Unclear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I'm going to swap out all of their protein powder with like estrogen supplements and watch them slowly deteriorate. I'm also probably going to leave like used tampons all over their floor because hopefully I can use real ones and leave them around in the afterlife. These are not gay tech bros in my mind.
In my mind, they were.
You know what's terrifying about your version of the afterlife, Charlie, is that we're still menstruating.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, that is fucking terrifying. God damn it.
That's hell right there.
Yeah. All right. So I think because of partially that and because I am an exhibitionist at heart, I think I might have to go with Maze's dick pic extravaganza.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, next question. Have y'all seen the Final Destination films?
Yes.
Okay. No.
Great. It's okay. I think you can still judge this. Okay, Final Destination style. How are, this goes to Charlie first. Final Destination style, how are you going to die?
Oh, man. Okay, so I'm driving behind a truck, and it has a bunch of ladders in the strapped to the back, and the truck slams on the brake, and the ladders just fly into the windshield of my car and fully decapitate me. I think about this every time I'm behind a truck with ladders. Every time. Oh, God.
All right, Mace.
So I am going to be just like taking a walk in the neighborhood, and then it's going to be one of those like City of Austin things where they're repairing the sidewalk, but I'm somehow going to like fall into the cement, and then the cement truck is going to go over me, and it's just going to flatten me.
Mm. Nice.
Pancake Mace.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yummy.
I thought you were going to say fill the hole with cement, like Medusa'd you, but no, oh, just flatten you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which elaborate death did you like more?
If I've been cutting off these prompts every time, I'm just going straight into it. Okay, I think I have to go with Charlie's because... that is deeply relatable. I also think about that behind when I'm behind any real freight of any kind on a road, and it sounds quicker than being flattened.
Yeah.
Like it might be less painful and agonizing.
Mine would definitely be like Final Destination, like 4 or 5. We're like well into the franchise. I don't know what to do at this point. And like maybe I'm an actor who like wants to make my mark. Oh, then my
with the agonizing screams.
Pun intended.
Exactly.
You're basically just a skid mark on the road.
So the flattening starts to at your toes so that you can really milk it for the performance. Yeah.
So there's this great movie that Stephen Sondheim and Anthony Perkins made when they were hooking up together. It's called The Last of Sheila. And Raquel Welch plays an actress in it. And there's a conversation going on about Sheila, who died a year before. And it's a luxury cruise that they're on, and they're trying to figure out who murdered Sheila. And someone's like, oh, they should make a movie about Sheila's death. It would be great. And because Raquel Welch is playing an actress, she's like, but you'd miss out on the great hospital scene.
Oh my God.
Because she wouldn't get to like die in front of the camera. It would be like an immediate
thing. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's so good.
All right. Next question. So far, okay, Charlie's in the lead.
Yes. Okay. So that was 2 for Charlie, 1 for Mace, and 1 TBD tie.
Yeah, TBD. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to go with all 7 questions. All right. Okay, Charlie, you are the killer in the newest, hottest slasher franchise. Ooh. What is your iconic weapon of choice and why?
Oh, geez. I'm going to go so sapphic with this one. It's nail clippers. I'm just going to start clipping your nails until I'm clipping at your fingers.
Oh.
And I'm just going to clip your hands down into nubs and just keep going until you've had so much blood loss that you're dead.
3, 2, 1. All right.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing. Mine would absolutely be poisonous Botox. And I would lure people in, and then I would turn their face blue with my evil venom.
3, 2, 1. Oof.
Mm. What do we think?
That's tough. Turning your face blue, I suppose, would be the prelude to a death of an internal bleeding. Like, what is the mechanism of dying there? Are we allowed to do follow-up questions?
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah.
Sure. As someone who's a science expert, I can absolutely answer this question. just like strapping in here. So your face is turning blue because A, it looks really fucking cool. And I'm also known as the blue science demon. just like extra little info for you. And also it, causes your brain to explode. Okay. And as we all know, when blood explodes inside of your head, it just turns your head blue.
Yep. Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. Okay.
Fact check me. You'll know.
Fact check me.
Oh, this is really tough because Mace's sounds
stylish,
quicker and more, I don't know. There's a
Yeah, mine's slow.
I love the slowness of that, but I also hate it.
Yeah, I literally got chills up my spine.
But I also love like the dirty talk that might ensue with with the clipping of the fingers off. Like,
well, it starts
here's
with
what
I'm
you even
trimming
do with your
fingers
now. Yeah, right. You trim the fingers, then maybe you have a little playtime.
And I'm like, oh, yeah.
And then they kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's going to be that one for me. It's going to be the nail clipper.
Woo!
Damn.
There's way more possibility of fooling around before you die, frankly.
It's true.
Okay. Priorities. I'm picking up on what I need to say for this next one.
Yeah.
After having sex, we...
It does remind me of Terrifier.
Never seen it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Terrifier 2, technically. Okay. It just has some... It's a murderous clown, and he has some really gnarly... murder scenes. But my favorite one is that he essentially scalps a woman and pulls her skin off her back. And then the scene cuts and we like go visit some other characters. And then we come back to that scene like 5 minutes later and she's like writhing around on her bed. And the clown comes back into the room and he's just so excited because he found a box of salt. Just starts like pouring it on her. It's funny. And when you watch it, it is kind of funny.
But it's a nightmare.
I'm not laughing.
It's horrible. I'm not laughing.
Yeah.
Woof.
Okay. All right. Question six. And we are starting with
Mace.
The loser.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. You're pitching a movie. You're rebooting a horror movie franchise, but you're gender flipping the villain.
Okay.
And or bending it. What's your pitch?
My pitch is absolutely going to be Freddy versus Jason, but now it's Freddy in JC, and they're fucking in the Nightmare Zone, and it's really cool.
Amazing. Charlie.
Oh, God. This is really hard. I really can't think of anything right now. Okay. Let's say that it's Chucky, but instead it's a bunch of young children ripping apart a doll, just like ripping it to absolute shreds and completely destroying it.
The kids are evil. I like
that. Yeah. Evil kids.
Mmm. Okay. I would like to see Freddy and Jason fuck. I'm not going to lie. Mace, you got this one.
All right.
Thank you.
I appreciate the absolute pandering.
Hey, it was JC, so...
Sorry, JC.
Yeah, who is she? What's her secret?
I see. Okay, I don't think I fully understood the scenario.
Sorry, it was abundantly clear in my head.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's not Jason, it's JC.
Okay, mm-hmm. JC.
But thank you. I already won. Why am I giving you more info?
No, I love it.
Okay, last question. Charlie, this goes to you.
Okay.
You are opening a queer haunted house. What gay ass haunts are you going to include?
Okay, like an unwashed dildo that's been sitting out for like, I don't know, 3 months, been used a lot. It's like growing all sorts of bacteria. Same thing, like a used douche that's just on the floor. I don't know, what else? Your mom.
Cherry on top. Mace.
Okay, so mine is going to be, so like you walk up these steps and then you come into a living room and you see four queers sitting on the floor recording a podcast with two cats asleep next to them and a bunch of candles lit in the floor.
Wait, the fourth.
Incredible. All right.
That sounds deeply familiar. This is tough. This is very tough. Y'all are valiant athletes in this game.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I mean, if I'm going to be really spooked, the group of queers does sound like something. Was that my thumb? Did that pick up a sound?
I don't know what that was, but it was wonderful.
Once again, it's ghosts. Things that go bump.
Maybe I shouldn't grip the mic so tightly.
White knuckling.
Yeah. Having a great time. Okay. I think the group of queers amidst the candles recording a podcast sounds like something I would like to join. Not to be too on the nose. I do think the moldy dildos and mother figure might be the spookiest thing you could encounter. So I'm going to give this one to Charlie.
All right.
Charlie's our winner.
That is our winner.
Thank you so much. I just want to thank these candles that are here on the floor. I don't know.
And in my own way, I am also a winner because my anxious cats have finally, for the first time since moving in here, calmed down. Thank you all.
I'd like to think we had something to do with that.
Yeah.
There you go.
100%. Yes. I was not capable of making this happen on my own. Mm-hmm. So I might have lost the game, but I won the battle.
That was very tough as a judge. That was a great performance on both parts and excellent prompts.
Yeah, amazing.
That was truly great.
Inspired.
Thank you.
Inspired questions.
Yeah, you really went above and beyond with those. Yeah,
well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Javi's the real winner here. And Elvira Easterly.
Oh, mm-hmm. Shucks.
And Emmy, whose paw is just like pushed up in that little
basket.
Bin. Oh. Yeah, that basket that she's in. Well, from all of us here in the new Queertown Clubhouse, thanks for hanging out with us. I don't know. Be safe, have fun, and enjoy the cooler weather.
And come see us at the Feartown Live Show.
Ooh. Saturday the 28th, 10 o'clock, Fallout.
Let's do it.
Tickets should probably be live by the time this episode airs.
Nice.
Thanks for sticking with us. All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
That's all, folks. Queertown is a Hey Kerwick production. Each episode is lovingly produced by yours truly and Kristen Washington. Our editor is Drewski Hewlett, and our project manager is Elizabeth Easterly. Visit Queertown on Instagram and Twitter for more updates on today's episode. Thanks for being here, and thanks for being queer. Bye, babes.